Good morning. I'm glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. One of the things that I just kind of want you to know that I try to get around and greet people. If I don't get around to you, it's not because I don't love you, okay? I try to get around. It's hard to get around to 250 folks or so every week, but I want you to know that I love each one of you. I'm glad that you are here with us this morning. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. That's our goal. We want the Holy Spirit, as we just sang about, we want the Holy Spirit to fill this place and to fill you. If you are visiting with us this morning, it may be your first visit. It may be that you've been a few times and have never really kind of let us know who you are, and that's okay, too. If you want to fly under the radar, fly away. But if we would like to know who you are, if you don't mind us knowing who you are, you can fill out this blue card that's in the seat in front of you and fill out your information there. And there's a box you can check if you want to be on our email list. We do a lot of communicating through email, so hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place and will register with us. We are picking up in 1 Peter today. If you want to turn to 1 Peter, it's in the New Testament right after Hebrews. You didn't know God had a coffee shop, did you? Hebrews? Ah, I'm sorry. That was bad. Okay. Unfortunately, if you're visiting with us today, that jokes do not get better. That's actually one of my better ones. Pretty sad. Who said yes over there? Walt? 1 Peter chapter 3. Now this is the Apostle Peter. Remember, just set the stage with Peter. Remember, this is the guy that he was first in line, charging in there. You know, and, if all, everybody else denies you and deserts you, not me. And when Jesus came around to wash his feet, and you can't wash my feet. And I mean, he was the bold guy, and then we all know that that didn't work out too well for Peter. He did deny the Lord three times, and yet the Lord restored him. When the Lord was resurrected, the Lord restored him, and Peter became this bold leader of the church. And this letter, 1 Peter verse 15 of chapter 3 is where we're going to read. But in your hearts, and when they talked about this in the children's sermon this morning, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And before we pray, I want you to notice that he is making the assumption that believers have hope. Are you hearing that? It's not like, well, if you have hope, be prepared to tell somebody about it. But no, he's saying when people ask you, why do you have hope, believers? You need to have an answer for them. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we make that invitation, but really you're always here. You're already here. Promise us in your word where two or three are gathered together, there you will be also. And so we know you're here, but we ask you now to stir our hearts, to speak in power and authority, and that something would happen, something supernatural would happen in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Advent, we started at, you know, that first Sunday of Advent every year, it's to me, it's just kind of startling. It's like, you know, I'm never quite ready for it. You know, the Christmas tree. Anybody's Christmas lights started going up in the neighborhood yet? Anybody put up Christmas lights yet? My daughters have not started hounding me sufficiently yet. It will happen sooner rather than later, I'm sure. But You start seeing the Christmas lights going up this morning. Steve and Cindy McCarn lit our Advent candle for us, and each week leading up to Christmas, we'll have a reading and we'll light the Advent candle. And then on our Christmas Eve service, we'll light the Christ candle. This thing of Advent is this, if you kind of wonder about that word, kind of Advent is means that we're celebrating the arrival or the second coming of Christ. So you can look at it that we're celebrating that he's already come and been here in the flesh, and that he has said, and we trust in hope and in faith, that he said he would come again. And so we're celebrating that and we're remembering that. And so as we enter this Advent season, we're going to start a sermon series called God With Us. That word, Scripture tells us, I believe it was in the reading this morning. Let me see. I think it was in there. Yes. The virgin will be with child and give him a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, did you know that that first Christmas, that God had been everything? He had been all and knew all and had done all, but he had never been flesh. You ever thought about that? God had never come and revealed himself as one of us until that first Christmas morning. And that's God with us. And that's something that we celebrate. And so today's message is Got Hope? Question mark. Remember the old Got Milk deal? Now your bulletin says something else, but every once in a while I throw a twist to Pat. You know, what things are looking like on Wednesday when she prints, or usually Thursday when she prints the bulletin, doesn't always end up there. So, Got Hope. Now, I want us to talk about that word hope, that as traditionally as we celebrate Advent, each week has a significance to it, and as we're in anticipation of the coming of Christ. And this week, the first week of Advent, traditionally is hope. Next week is peace, and we'll be talking about peace, and then joy is the third week, and then love is the fourth week. And so we'll be talking about those words and the significance of them to us as believers in Christ the next 4 weeks. So today, got hope. Hope, so I want us to just kind of camp out a little while on that word hope. First thing I want us to hear is that my thinking, my brain is weird, so anyway, but I kind of think of hope as a close cousin to faith. They're not the same. Hope and faith are not the same, but they're very similar, and they work together. So let's talk about both of those words for just a second. Faith is, and I've kind of just condensed my own little definition here. Faith is the confidence in the truthfulness of God, that God said He would be with us always. God said that we could come to Him and when we were weary, and that He would give us rest. God said that He would, through Christ, that He would forgive us of our sins, and that He would provide a place for us to be with Him for all eternity. And on and on and on, God has made promises to us, and when we trust in confidence of those promises, and we live in those promises, that's faith. Okay? Now, and that so notice that deals with today, right now, how we live our life, the present reality that we have, confidence in the truthfulness of God. Did you know that God is truthful? God doesn't lie to us. God is faithful. Now, okay, so I want us to now shift to hope. Hope is that confident expectation of the fulfillment of God's truthfulness. That God will do in the future what He has said He will do. Now, you can have faith without hope. I want that to sink in for just a second. I want to say it again. You can have faith without hope. It's very difficult, but it can happen. But you cannot have hope without faith. Does that make sense to anyone? You can have faith without hope, but you can't have hope without faith. Billy, I'm stealing one of your fireman illustrations here. Is that okay? Billy's our resident fire expert, but I was thinking about this and trying to make sense of that. It's like, for instance, oxygen is necessary for fire, right? We all learn that as children. If you have a fire, you know that oxygen is present. But thankfully, oxygen is not sufficient for fire. In other words, every time you have oxygen, you're not going to have fire. But you're not going to have fire without oxygen. So I don't know if I'm seeing a lot of blank looks on your face. Peter Piper picked it. No, anyway. I'll let you do the fire analogies from now on, Billy. Did I tell you that God has a coffee shop? No, I'm just. All right, so I got us totally confused now, but I'm going to try to get us back on track. Faith and hope. Faith deals with the present, that God is making good on his promises right now. When God says that he will never leave us or desert us, that's right now. He tells us that he's going and to prepare a place for us. And when we leave this body, he's saying that I will come and get you to be with me. And so that is the hope that we have in Christ. Faith fuels that. Our faith fuels that. So I want us to talk, and I'm going to move pretty quickly because I've got a lot of ground I'm going to cover here this morning. Four facts about hope. Our definition, our American thinking of hope is not biblical Christian hope. Okay. When I was a little boy, and some of y'all have been here for a few years, you've heard me talk about this. I wanted a horse. I mean, I wanted a horse bad. And if anybody would, right after church, would you please scold my mother? I never got a horse. She's right over here. She's the lady laughing, knowing that I'm telling the truth. I wanted a horse. It didn't matter to me that we lived in the city in a rental house with a yard about the size of this little area right here. That didn't matter. This little boy wanted a horse. I hoped for a horse. And so that's the kind of hope that we have in the world. But that's so different than the Christian hope that the Bible is talking about. So four facts about hope. There's a difference between whimsical, fanciful hope, what the world gives, and Christian hope. I hope I win the lottery. That's whimsical, fanciful, especially since I don't buy lottery tickets. That would truly be a miracle. That's a lot different than I have hope because Christ has overcome sin and death in my own life. That's godly, biblical, Christian hope. I hope I get a 50-inch flat screen for Christmas. Some of you are going, 50? Go for it, man. I have a friend, I won't name his name, who has a 92-inch flat screen. Isn't that right, Lee? I'm telling you, he has to wear welding goggles to watch it. It's no lie. Anyway, it's another sermon. I hope I get a 50-inch flash screen for Christmas. That's worldly hope, whimsical, fanciful hope. Godly hope says, I have hope because Christ lives in me. That's what we're talking about. Second thing about hope, second fact about hope. Hope demonstrates to the world that we belong to Christ, that Christ dwells in us. There's no better place where this is revealed, I've found, than a funeral. I'm telling you, you can see very quickly when I go to reach out to a family who's had loss, you can tell very quickly if they have hope in Christ. It doesn't mean they don't grieve. The scripture tells us that we are to grieve, but not like the rest of men who have no hope. Some of you around the sanctuary have recently lived that out in front of us. Grieve, yes. We grieve because we have the loss, a temporary loss, but we have hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, that hope and that faith speaks loudly to the world. Speaks loudly to the world when you demonstrate it. Third thing about hope. Non-believers cannot have Christian hope. They can want a 50-inch flat screen all day long. That kind of hope, that anyone can have that kind of hope. And I see it all the time, and I'm not slamming you if you play the lottery, but that's this example coming to my mind. If you play the lottery and you're hoping to hit the big one when you scratch that number, I don't even know how you play, but anyway, I think you scratch something, right? You can hope that I hit the big one. That's not Christian godly hope. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says it to the church of Ephesus like this. He's talking about before they knew Christ, to the Gentiles. Remember, at that time, before you knew Christ, you were separate from Christ without hope. Separate from Christ, no hope. In Christ, hope. That's what he's saying. Gentiles, and he's talking about when you were called the uncircumcised, you were the unclean, and now through Christ, you've been brought near to Christ, and you have hope. Fourth fact about hope. The opposite of hope, and this is what we run into so many times in our culture, the opposite of hope is despair. Another word, discouragement. Have you ever, despair and discouragement runs rampant in our culture. Anybody else notice that but me? There is a lot of hurting, angry, unhappy people in our world. And I would attest to you, it's because they have no hope. The Christmas season should be the time of greatest hope for Christians. And remember, that definition of hope is that confident expectation of the fulfillment of God's truthfulness, that God is faithful and he will do what he said he will do. Do you believe that? All right, I want to shift into three facts about discouragement. So if despair or discouragement is the opposite of hope, then we probably ought to see what that looks like. Well, here it is. First fact about discouragement. Christian hope comes from God. Discouragement comes from Satan. Discouragement comes from Satan. In fact, number two, discouragement is one of Satan's main primary weapons against us. If the enemy can discourage us, now remember, we can have faith without hope, but you can't have hope without faith. So even if you're in Christ, we can be discouraged, can't we? Anybody else been discouraged besides me? The enemy loves that. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's the father of lies. He likes to tell us things about ourselves that are not true. God would say that we're his child, that we're precious in his sight. The enemy would say, you're worthless. No wonder nobody doesn't like you. That's the enemy's voice, and it leads to despair and discouragement. It's a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon against us. Well, the last thing I want to say this about discouragement. Discouragement is not a condition, it's a choice. Now, I know I'm not, I'm setting aside if there's medical things going on, if there's medical conditions and all that I know sometimes different chemicals and so forth in our body can get out of line. We can have chemical types of depression. But I think more times than not, what's really going on in us is from the enemy. And we can choose, and here's that word, it's a rough word. Are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. We can wallow. There's that word. We can wallow in our despair. H.B. London, which is James Dobson, his cousin, and they've been in ministry together, or had been in ministry together for 40 years or something. And Cheryl and I have had the pleasure of meeting him. He's a really neat man. He has this phrase that you've heard me say it before, joy suckers. Are we a joy sucker? I mean, have we listened so much to the enemy about who we are and how unworthy we are, and do we allow ourselves to wallow in how people have hurt us? And what we're unhappy about, things that didn't go quite the way we thought they should go, it happens for all of us. Do we wallow in that? Do we become joy suckers? We know a lot of joy suckers. We probably start listing off the truck with people we know that are joy suckers. They walk into the room, everybody's like, hey! And they walk in, he's like, huh. You know anybody like that? The problem is your name on the list? Is my name on the list? That's where we get serious about it. It's one thing to write other people's names on the joy sucker list. It becomes personal when our name starts getting scratched out. Three keys to overcoming discouragement. Set your heart and mind on God. Stop thinking about it. And I'm just telling you, I'm just getting real with you this morning. There's been, I was sharing this with on our prayer summit a couple of weeks ago. I honestly, man, you know, and by the way, what I'm fixing to share is none of y'all in the room, okay? So don't like, is he talking about me? But about 2 weeks ago, we did the prayer summit with our One Kingdom group, and I was sharing to this little prayer group that we split into. We were supposed to share things we were struggling with, and I said, you know, in my whole life, I look back at my whole life, and I really can't put my finger on any time that the thought of someone's name just made me angry and bitter, and where you start playing things they've done to you, things they've said, the way they've hurt people you love, and so forth. In my whole life, 54 years, I was thinking back, and it's like, I just, you know, you get mad, you get mad, and you move on after whatever, a few hours or a few days or whatever, you get mad, you move on. But I've never kind of found myself in that trap until the last year or so. And there's about, and the enemy, man, I'm battling it. It's nobody in the room. You're not. I promise it's not you. But I'm battling it. When those names come to my mind, I'll find myself just circling. And then I catch myself. And that's the enemy. Okay? That's the enemy. And I'll catch myself and I'll go, wait. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going there anymore. I'm done. And I choose to forgive, but he comes back. You know, when he tempted Jesus in the desert, Jesus overcame him with the word of God. And what did it say? Satan left him for an opportune time to come back. If the devil tries to come after Jesus, even after he's resisted him, you think he won't come after us multiple times? Over and over and over. And how does he do that? I think he does it many times through our thoughts. Set your heart and your mind on God. Since then you have been raised with Christ, Colossians 3, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That person who's hurt us, we can sit there and wallow in that. And I'm not wallowing, I'm just struggling. I'm just telling you, because I know that I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. I don't want that stuff in my heart. I'll tell you, the last two Sundays, as I've been preparing for the sermon, I've had to start my prayer time off in preparation for the sermon. Lord, I repent of the anger in my heart towards those people. Set your mind and your hearts on things above. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. At my right hand I will not be shaken. That's what the psalmist says. When we set our mind and our heart on God, we begin to see a big God and a little devil. Don't you love that? When we set our mind and heart on God, we begin to see a big God and a little devil. We become an encourager of other people instead of a joy sucker. Are you an encourager of other people? When we set our mind and our heart on God, God changes our attitude. Now, you're going to have to endure this. I think I sang this song 2 or 3 years ago. Remember the old hee-haw song? All right, y'all sing it with me. You ready? Gloom, despair. You got to kind of moan when you sing it, okay? You can't just sing it. Oh, you know if you're over 40, you know the song. Some of you youngsters. Walt, you ever heard the song? Have you ever heard a hee-haw? Oh, my God. I'm going to buy you a DVD set, man. Educate you a little bit. All right, here we go. You ready? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Despair and agony on me. Some of y'all are really too good at that, I can tell you. Walt's going, I don't want to see that show. Are we like those old men sitting in the group singing that? Is that our life? Is that the vibe we send out in the room when we walk in a room? Or do we have hope? And finally, if we set our mind and heart on God, we praise him. Isaiah 61:3 says, put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. The garment that we clothe ourselves in the righteousness of Christ. We clothe ourselves with the grace and the hope and the joy of Christ. Put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Second thing to overcoming discouragement. Expect trials in this life. You know, if you're under the illusion that if God loves you, this life is going to be trial-free, I may be the first one to tell you, but I got sad news for you. It's just not true. The truth is, this life is tough. People get sick. People die. Relationships are broken. People do bad, mean things. Accidents happen. This life is tough. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But how do you finish it? Take heart, I've overcome the world. He's bigger than any trial that we face. Listen to, again, this is 1 Peter, but it's out of chapter 1. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And here's the reason that God allows those things. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Expect trials in our lives. God is, through the trials, God is molding us, shaping us to bring Him honor and glory. There's going to be a fight, but you're going to win because Christ has already won. Here are perspectives of people chronically discouraged. Here's how chronically discouraged people see things. I expect victory without difficulties. And I expect difficulty without victory. That's how we see life if we are a discouraged person in despair. Finally, the last way of overcoming discouragement. Take your eyes off, take our eyes. I want me to be in this. Take our eyes off ourselves and place them on Christ. Hebrews 12 tells us, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we fix our eyes on Jesus instead of ourselves, he says the result will be that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. Wow. That's probably a little more than you bargained for this morning. We should be a people of hope. When people see Christians, and that's not to say we can't, you know, we don't have the freedom to have a bad day or even a bad week. That's not what I'm talking about. And I believe what God would say is, don't wallow in it. Set your heart and your mind on me. Fix your eyes on me. And those people who have hurt you, set it aside. Forgive them. Pray for them. And I'm in that battle doing that. I'm battling it. And I will get it done. I will get it done through the power of Christ. So I ask you, as we close, I ask you this. Do you have hope? God tells us to always be prepared to give a reason for that hope. I don't know about you. My reason is Christ. What he's done for me. How he's blessed me. That's the reason for the hope that I have. Let's pray. Father, I feel challenged today. I don't know if anybody else does, but I do. I pray that you'd make us a people of hope. As we anticipate the coming of Jesus in this Advent season, make us be a people of hope. May people see something different in us. And may we have the courage to give a reason for that hope. May we set our hearts and our minds on you, Lord. May all those other things be washed away. You are the source of hope in our lives. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand as you're able, if you'd like to come and pray, if you'd like to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a great day to do that. If you would like for me to pray with you, any of those things, you can come forward.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord alone. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is born, Lord alone. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
In Christ alone, cornerstone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
You got hope? Do you have hope? Go and tell someone. Be blessed. God bless you.
Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Through the storm.
Through the storm, He is Lord.